The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in a temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you call me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but a sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. First, let us briefly remind ourselves what has occurred. You had Hannah in the temple. She was unable to have a child. She prayed to the Lord, and her hope was granted. Her vow was that the Lord gave her a son, that she would then give him back to the Lord to serve in the temple. She had had a son, and she had kept her word. It said yearly she went back up to the temple to check on her son and make sure he had a new change of clothes and probably all the other things that he needed. And so Hannah was very much the Old Testament Mary. She even sings a song rejoicing in the gift of her son. Samuel was the bridge between the period known as the Judges and the Kings. He will be the last judge. He will anoint the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. But at this point, these things haven't occurred yet. He's still a young man, probably a teenager, probably starting to be concerned with his now adult occupation. And so it's time. The Lord calls him to his work. But the reason I find this text interesting is it says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. When we read the Bible, we so often think, how could they not follow the Lord? All these miraculous things occurred. And this is true. But often in our minds, it's hard to grab hold of that sense of time. For instance, from the patriarchs, the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're dealing with 400 years until Moses appears and all those great miracles occur. And so, too, after Moses and then Joshua, you have a few miraculous encounters. Gideon has his conversation with the angel of the Lord. Samson's parents have their encounter with the angel of the Lord. But we're talking about a few encounters in a time period of more than 300 years. And this is just it. The Lord never forgets about his people. But these miraculous occurrences, if you were living in and at that time, would have seemed few and far in between. But what did they have? Well, they still had the Ark of the Covenant, the lamp of the Lord, and all the promises that they had been given that revolved around the tabernacle. And so too, even at the time of Christ, it had been 400 years since they had had the last prophet. It seemed like a massive amount of time. But what did they have? They had God's word. They had the temple and all the things that gathered around. And this is even the point of what Nathanael's doing when Christ says, I saw you under the fig tree. This was a standard expression in the ancient world that one was reading scripture. Under shade, but in the light of the day. The best way in time to read the Bible. Too hot to work, but bright enough to read. And so, too, we often say that we would like to have some specialized vision that would make it so much easier to believe. But first off, this just isn't the reality for much of biblical history. And second, my students the other day at Trinity asked me if I've ever seen anything miraculous. The only person I've ever personally met who truly claimed to have had a near-death experience, that he saw heaven. And I visited him in the hospital many times when he was in his coma. It could have been true, right? But it didn't really convert him. Oh, it made him very penitent for a few months. But then he went right back to his old ways, and really for his life, not much changed. But what we have been given is God's word. This is still very much there for us. Day in and day out, it does not change nor alter, but confesses to us very directly who is the Lord and what he has done for each and every one of us. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, here I am. And here we finally think, oh, we have this miraculous display of power. But it's so miraculous and powerful that Samuel does what? He ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. So obviously it wasn't what we would call overwhelming. Just a small, still voice. Not that different from his master. And so too, Christ actually appears in the flesh. Calls Philip, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Christ, the Son of God, appears and he looks just like some bloke from an unimportant town. Nazareth was a new town. It was full of not the best kind of people. It wasn't exactly on what you would call the beaten track. It was about as lowly as one could get for a community in Israel. And so when Nathanael asks the question, he's not just making fun. He's asking a legitimate question. Why would God do the most important thing in the history of the world from a place that was, from all outside perspective, just so unimportant? And so too, maybe you have some grand conversion account, maybe some fiery story to wow the audience about how you were brought into Christ's church. But you know, I don't. My story is just a bunch of normal Christians teaching a pretty normal person about the most important thing in the world. Their voices weren't particularly powerful. Their words weren't particularly eloquent. But yet they carried the word of life. Very much a bunch of Nazarenes speaking to a Nazarene. But in such humble things, carried and brought the hope of all things. Maybe it was similar for you too. But after multiple times, the rather imperfect Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So even though Samuel was being spoken to in such a humble voice that he could not perceive that it was different from Eli's, it was still the voice of the Lord, calling, directing, and leading him in more ways than he could have ever known. And so too, Philip, not to be dissuaded, simply said to Nathanael, "Come and see." And Nathanael came and saw and heard. And by the end of the encounter was confessing that this poor Nazarene was the Son of God and the King of Israel. And so too, God's word has been spoken to us by such humble people that we remember in our own lives. But through their words, through the baptism of that pastor, through the confirmation and reception of the Lord's Supper, these seemingly simple, mundane, normal things, well, through them, we have the audacity to say that we are children of the living God, connected with a death like his, so that way we will be connected with a resurrection like his. And what does Paul say? A temple of the Holy Spirit, truly united and bound together with Christ. And our Old Testament reading stops with, "Speak for your servant hears." A fine place to stop, because if we would continue on, the message Samuel is given is actually quite dark. And the reason it is so dark is because there's a lot of sin and brokenness in Israel at that time, and the Lord is promising to deal with it. And a source of a lot of that brokenness is actually Eli's own family and Eli himself. And after Samuel tells Eli what the Lord says, Eli can only say, "The Lord must do what is right," because he knows that he's part of the problem. And so too, Nathanael is ready to believe because he has been given some proof that Jesus is more than he appears, and his word actually has power. But Christ says to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And we can go back through a lot of Old Testament verses. The Lord gives us much to understand these words, but the basic idea is that there is a gap between us and God because of sin. And he's actually going to deal with that sin, deal with that brokenness, and bridge that gap. And what's the way he will bridge it? Well, you all know the answer. His cross. That is the bridge. That is the ladder. That is what once and for all finally deals with all the sin and all the brokenness that we could ever face. And so too, we have been brought to faith through most likely so many voices and so many hands, and some of them, I'm sure, are very near and dear to our own personal lives and our own personal hearts. But what is the constant and consistent message of them all? Well, Christ has come. He has died for sin. He has risen again. Belief in him gives us hope that before the eyes of our Heavenly Father, we truly are seen as clean, perfect, holy, and right. And that the day will come when he will finally, once and for all, deal with sin, with brokenness, with all the stuff that we see on a day-by-day basis that has just gone wrong. Like he told to Samuel, like he told to Nathaniel, like he tells to us. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not fear if the voice of the Lord seems meek and meager. Do not fret if it seems like little is occurring. Do not worry that he uses that seemingly lowly thing or things to continue to spread his message. For so he has always done, because he's speaking to us, wherever we may be. But the truth that his word is with us, the truth that he will deal with sin, the truth that all these things shall come to pass, well, of this there is no doubt. For such he has proclaimed and done over and over and over again, so that we may know that he is not slow, as some count slowness, but indeed is fulfilling his promises in his time, as he always has. So lift up your heads. That which is in you, that Holy Spirit which has made you a temple, is far greater than any brokenness than you could or can ever encounter. For you are bound together with Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.